This congregation is dedicated to two things: the preaching of the gospel of Christ and feeding the poor. The most important thing that we do today is not eat breakfast burritos downstairs. The most important thing that we do today is not eat lunch right after worship. The most important thing that we do today is not feed the poor or fellowship or chit-chat. The most important thing that we do today is not feed the homeless, clothe the homeless, put caps and gloves and socks on the homeless like we've done this week. That's not the most important thing that we do here today. The most important thing that we do here today is we worship God. The church comes together to do five things. We come together to take the Lord's Supper, to proclaim His death until He comes. We come together to sing praises to His holy name. We come together to pray and beseech God for His mercy and His grace and His abundance upon us all. We come together to give of our blessings to the poor, that we might be a blessing to all of those around us as God has been a blessing to us. I've been the minister of this congregation for, I'm working on the 17th year. I served as associate minister here for about 6 years. And in those 17 years, I have never taught and baptized less than 50, and as many as 150. I think we baptized 108 last year, isn't that right, Lois? I think that's pretty close, 108 last year. So I'd like to ask all our brethren that criticize us to consider the work that they do before they begin throwing any rocks today about today's sermon topic. When I began preaching here, there was 40 old people left. Our church had split. It was very little chance that church was going to even go on at all. It's 40 old people here. And I buried all but five or six of the 40, and I loved them all and took care of them and protected them. And you people are still living are my witnesses that nobody laid a hand on them or harmed a hair on their head around me. I checked their ice boxes and got them and brought them to church and took care of them. And so did others here, my brothers Bernie Woods and Freddie Vaughn and those who've helped here for so long. But there were 40 people here, and we buried all but five, and now we've got a membership of way over 200. Building's almost full today. Today we'll have 4,000 worship with us via the internet. 4,000 people will come and listen on the internet. We download between 7 and 23,000 sermons a month. We have 3 hours on the radio to all of North Texas. Our audience is thousands upon thousands upon thousands, not hundreds. And we do this on a contribution of between $500 and $1,000 a week. Last week we had a record contribution of $1,650, wasn't it, or something like that. Praise God. We've had some brethren that sent us a little extra money, and we really thank them. We've got 3 churches that help us: the Grapevine Congregation, the Walnut Hill Congregation, the White Rock Congregation. But we haven't asked anybody to help us. They have saw the work that we're doing and volunteered to help us. We've never asked our radio audience or internet audience for one penny. But now we want to try to expand what we're doing here. We need a lunchroom. We need a real kitchen, number one, where I can cook soup and stew and decent meals for people, especially in bad weather like this. And we need a lunch room that we can all eat in one room. And this building next door was designed to have a second story on it. Or we could remove the walls downstairs and turn that whole area down there into a lunch room. We don't know how we're going to do that yet, but we're giving Foy the job to go out and attempt to raise funds to try to help us do that this year, and I'd like your prayers about that. We'd like to have a couple of more hours on the radio. I think it'd just be wonderful, and I'd like for y'all to join me in prayer that the Lord would give us a couple more hours on the radio. Nothing wrong with having 5 hours on the radio to preach the gospel instead of 3. Today, we will feed 400 homeless and poor. Each day, we give out about 150 bologna sandwiches. We've been giving out a cup of soup this week. We put hot water, scalding water on these cups of soup, and the homeless here have found that very good. We feed between 200-300 breakfast burritos on Sunday morning, 40 senior breakfasts every day. We do a lot to feed the poor. The title of my sermon today is Feeding the Poor and the Downtrodden and the Homeless. And being a dumb sinner and a prodigal son of this church without kosher orthodoxy in the churches of Christ and all those letters behind my name, you know, I got a little joke about that. All these people with their titles, that there once was a fellow named Twiddly that didn't have his degree, but he sent in his $35 and now he's Twiddly DD. And so we got a lot of Twiddly DDs out there that's teaching in the name of Jesus that ought to keep your mouth shut. I really had no idea about some of the venom that goes on in the churches of Christ about eating in the church building. So if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and the 20th verse, our PowerPoint man's going to look this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. We're going to talk about this a little, and we're going to study about this over several different weeks. But I hope to begin to establish to you that the problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 20, is not the eating. The problem is commingling eating with the Lord's Supper. That's the problem. We don't allow coffee, donuts, or anything else in here when we come in here to worship. Don't bring any food in here. Don't eat in here when we come in here to worship. If you're a diabetic, go to the lobby or downstairs and we'll take care of you immediately. But don't bring any food in here inside and to worship. But taking this verse here out of context, you know, when you teach the Bible, all of you teachers, y'all need to pay attention. Context is everything. It's what we're talking about. Context. In what context is these things being said? And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning really in verse 19, "For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." The Bible says that there are bad things that come up and bad teachers in the church so that the whole church can see who's got their act together, because that's the guy that straightens it out. If there's something going on wrong, the guy that's approved by God is the guy that straightens it out. "For when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." The way they were doing it, it wasn't to eat the Lord's Supper. "For in eating, every one of you taketh before the other his own supper." These people were bringing their own supper to their worship service. The rich brought chicken cordon bleu and a pink chablis, and the poor didn't have anything, and the medium people had bologna sandwiches. And one is hungry and another's drunken. And so some people didn't get anything at all to eat, and some people were drunkards. "What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? I praise you not. Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Then he goes on to teach about the Lord's Supper. And then down to verse 34, it says, "And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Well, one of the problems with that here at the Main Street Church of Christ is that some of these people don't have a home. Some of these people don't have a home at all. Now, most of you folks, any of you with any money and things of that nature, you don't go downstairs and eat. You go eat at home. You go to a restaurant. You eat other places. But the poor go down there. The people don't have homes. They go down there and they eat. Now, you take these verses that we have here on one hand that Paul's talking about, don't commingle the taking of the Lord's Supper with your worship service and with eating and feeding the poor. And then in James, if you turn over with me now to James in chapter 2 and begin in verse 13. All these hard-hearted people ought to keep this stuff in mind. "For he shall have judgment without mercy that is shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and hath not works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, What does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now let me tell you something. If God was mad at us for feeding the poor and the homeless in an entirely separate building from the building that we worship in, there's no way that he'd give us an internet audience of 4,000 and 3 hours on the radio on a contribution of $500 a week and give us the money to feed them people. Now, all of us around here are volunteers. We're not paid. And as I told you last week, it's not because we're anti-pay. We're not against pay. We just don't have none of it. And if we had a whole lot of money, well, me and Ginger would take a whole bunch of it. Now, I've got some baskets set up here for a special love offering in case y'all want to take up some money for Kelly and Ginger. I've got these baskets set up here. I'd take that just some change, man. You wouldn't even have to put no bills in there. Just fill that up with change. It'd be all right with me. For our radio audience, we've got a bunch of baskets up here, and when you hear the sermon, you'll understand why. I don't think that we have time, so let's turn over now. I was going to read some other scripture, but let's turn over to Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to go back just a couple of verses before the PowerPoint. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 10. And he sent and beheaded John in prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. Now, I think your PowerPoint begins right now at verse 13. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. Now, this story of Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes, this story is told by all four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark tells the more fuller account. Matthew tells a little less. Luke tells a little less. John expands upon it even more. That we'll talk about that next week. But all four gospel writers cover this great miracle of Jesus. Some people today say, well, do you believe all the miracles of the Bible? I sure do. I sure do. You know, God does many, many miracles, but when you consider the nature of Jesus Christ and who He is, it's not a big deal. It's not a really big deal. If Jesus Christ is the God of the universe, then multiplying loaves and fishes is not a big deal. Walking on water is not a big deal. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for free CD. And be sure and visit our website, www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Eddie, how many you baptized last year? Amen. 1,068. Let the church say amen. Amen. This is our jail minister. How wonderful he did. He got here just a little late this morning, or he would have given you a jail report. Next time you're here, you'll get to do that, Brother Eddie. And when Jesus heard of it, the death of John, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. Mark indicates to us that the people would have took him and tried to make him a king so that he could try to depose Herod Antipas, and that's the reason that he went across Galilee, he went across the Sea of Galilee, to get away from that group of people that was trying to make him king because it wasn't time for him to have a big run-in with the authorities and with Herod Antipas. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Christ's preaching was so powerful that people could never hear enough. And they forgot all about bringing their lunch with them or any food or anything else. They just wanted to hear Jesus and hear the bread of life. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. The Greek word here for compassion is only used by the Bible writers in the ancient Greek. It was never used by the classical writers. It's phangi en zomini. And it's a word that means tender compassion with love. Jesus had tender compassion upon these people with love. It means that he was moved within his heart and within his soul with love for these people. And he had compassion, tender loving compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Now, Isaiah had told us how we would know the Christ when he came. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. How would the people recognize the Christ when he came? Isaiah chapter 35, beginning in verse 3. Isaiah 35, verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are fearful of heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. And Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. Then the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness, Israel is pictured as a wilderness in the hands of teachers, false teachers, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. In the wilderness shall waters break out, the streams in the desert. And so you bring water into the desert, and it blooms. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land a spring of water, in the habitation of dragons, snakes, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and bulrushes. And a highway, and this is always a metaphor in the book of Isaiah for the church, a way, the way, we studied this several weeks ago, as the way, God's only way. God prepared a way, not many ways, but one way, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, for the unclean shall not pass over it. You got to have your sins washed away to be in this new church, in this kingdom of God. You can't get in here with your sins. You got to have your sins washed away first before you can get into this highway, this new kingdom of God. And the unclean shall not pass over it, for it shall be for those wayfaring men, sinners like you and me, for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. This is going to be so simple, this gospel that we preach, that we study, that we teach. This is going to be so simple, a fool cannot err in this. You've got to go to college to learn how to mess this up. This is simple stuff. This is not rocket science stuff here. This is like adding up two and two and getting four. This is not smart stuff for geniuses and PhDs. A fool shall not err therein. No line shall be there. No person with bad heart is going to be there, because if you've had your sins washed away, you're not going to have a bad heart. The Holy Spirit's going to live in you. No line shall be there, nor any ravenous beast. All that will be washed away if you're a real Christian, shall go thereupon. And it shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and this is galal, is the Hebrew word there, and it means from the ancient form of kinship to buy back. And so if you went to the hock shock and hocked your ring, and you died, and your wife, your widow wanted your ring, then your brother would go redeem that ring and bring it back. Or redeem your wife who didn't have any children. He would marry your wife and raise up children for you. Or buy your land back is to redeem. And the redeemed shall live there. See, we've all been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And come unto Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Boy, that's right out of Revelation 21, isn't it? All right, let's get back quickly now to Matthew chapter 14. So Jesus healed their sick, verse 14 again. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion, with tender love and compassion towards them, and healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came unto him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals, that they go buy something to eat. John indicates that Jesus thought of this in verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Now John also indicates that how broke the disciples were. They were just like us. They got a contribution of $500 a week and were to conquer the world with it. John indicates for us that they said, All we got's 200 penny weights here, and that's nothing. That's just nothing. It wouldn't even buy a morsel for every one. There's so many people here, Jesus. There's 5,000 men here, besides the women and children. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. How do we feed so many? Well, you do it just like we did. You begin with what you got. You know how most people do a ministry? They go out and they go all over to churches of Christ everywhere and they beg money. Oh, we're so broke. And this is what we're going to do if you give us some money. You know what we've done? We've done it. We've done it and we hadn't gone begging nowhere. Now we're going to ask some people to help us build a lunchroom down there and build a place to feed people down there. We need some help with that. But we're still not going begging to feed the poor. Because God sent the money, God multiplies the loaves just like we're fixing to read. And Jesus said to them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Begin with what you got. And they said unto him, We have here but five loaves and two fishes. Five loaves. Now five loaves was a small, the Jewish loaf was a small loaf. It was about this size right here. That's why I've got it all laid out here for you. It's where you can get an idea. This is about the size of a loaf. And so they had five of these. This amount right here on this tray is five loaves. And I've drawn a picture there of two little old medium-sized fish. It's probably enough lunch for what? Maybe three people? Maybe five people, if they didn't eat a whole lot and they divided that fish up real skimpy, they could maybe five people eat off of that. And they said, We have here but five loaves and two fishes. And he said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fishes. And him looking up and him... And the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves unto his disciples. Now, it's not recorded for us exactly what he said, but he probably said the standard Jewish prayer, Baruch Ata Eloheinu Melech Haolam Ham Asi Lechem Min Ha'atas, Blessed art thou, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who bringeth bread out of the earth. Common Jewish prayer for bread. And so, more than likely, this is the blessing that Jesus gave. But he gave an example that we follow ever since in blessing food before we eat it. And so he blessed God for the food. We don't bless the food. We bless God for giving us the food. And he commanded the multitude to sit down. Now, we're going to find in John's account that they were sit down in hundreds and sit down in fifties in orderly fashions so that the disciples could easily feed them. Bring them hither to me. The act of a father in a family. And he commanded the multitude to sit on the grass, and he took the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves unto his disciples. And the disciples unto the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Now the Greek word there for baskets is kathenos. It means a small basket. And I've got 12 peck baskets here. These are just a little smaller than a half bushel. These are 12 peck baskets. And so Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 little fishes, and he fed 5,000 plus the women and children, and he took up 12 basketfuls of scraps that were left over. Now, truly, we have a notable miracle done here, but it's not such a big deal when you consider who Jesus was. In the beginning, God created, bara, the Hebrew word, spoke into existence out of nothing, the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so what we have here clearly is a multiplication of substance, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. But the message that God, through Jesus, is trying to teach us is that God is well able to multiply the loaves for his people. He has tender love and compassion for his people. He cares about the poor and the homeless of his people. The Grapevine Church of Christ this very week sent us a love offering of considerable money that's going to help us just wonderfully. Thank you, Lord, so very much that your servants have done this. It's going to help us a little every month all year long. Not only that, they brought this very week blankets and sleeping bags and caps and hoods and gloves and socks for the homeless. And we've given out already 8 cases of cup of soup. And I went and got 6 more cases, 48 per case, yesterday. It's cold outside. It was 13 degrees outside last night. Jesus has tender compassion, and he's well able to multiply this little old $500 offering that we get here every week, this little old peanuts that you poor people put in here. He's able to, well able to multiply that. And you are my witnesses. I've never asked you for a penny, have I? Have I ever told you I need more money from you? Never one time in 16 years have I ever asked you for money. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave thanks, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples and to the multitude. They did eat, were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Probably each disciple took up a whole basket full his own self in order to strengthen the faith of the disciples. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and the children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. If Jesus goes out by himself to pray, we ought to be praying too. And when evening was come, he was come there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. And then we have the account of Jesus walking upon the water. And that's no big deal at all for the Creator of heaven and earth. So when we turn over into the 15th chapter now, and we're going to begin reading in verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed and many others. And I read you from Isaiah 35 a few minutes ago how that's how you'd know the Christ. He'd heal the sick, the lame, and the blind, and all of those type of people. He's going to heal them and raise them up to be a sign so that you'll know that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that the church and the kingdom that he is establishing is from God and from him. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Healed them all. Not some of them. It's not like some kind of Pentecostal meeting where some of these people, they get healed, and they got these psychosomatic illnesses and all that stuff. And silliness, it's not like that. He healed them all. Every one of them was a notable miracle, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole and the lame to walk. The maimed to be whole. What do you think that meant? Think people grew fingers again or something? I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. The maimed to be whole. You know, lepers, their fingers would fall off. And the lame to walk and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion. There's that word there again. Spend gi nid zomini. In other words, I have tender love and compassion for the people on the multitude because they continued with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. All they cared about is being with Jesus. That's all they cared about. They just wanted to be with him. Hear about his love and his mercy and his goodness. They didn't even think about eating. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint and away. And the disciples saying to him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to feed so great a multitude? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves have you? See, he kind of suggests it, hoping maybe they'll remember what he did with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And maybe they'll suggest something. And Jesus said to them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. So over here on this tray, I have 7 loaves and I've drawn 4 little fishes. We don't know how many a few is. It says a few little fishes. Few is 2 or more is what the word few means. It could have been 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. It wasn't very many. It was just a few. And it was just 7 loaves, about the size of probably a hamburger bun. This is Jewish bagel here. But it was thick, about the size of a biscuit, is the way that their leavened bread was. They've 7 of them, 7 loaves. And there's 4,000 people there, men, besides the women and children. And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took of the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave them to his disciples and the disciples unto the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full, Greek word, spuris, big baskets full. Not little baskets full, but big baskets full. They took up 7 big baskets full of scraps. Now there was 7 loaves, and they took up, they fed 4,000 men plus the women and the kids, and they took up 7 big baskets full. Does this give us any kind of idea what kind of God we worship? I mean, he's a wonderful God. He's able to do anything. He can do more than walk on water. He can do anything. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. There's super abundance with God. And they that did eat were 4,000 men besides the women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came to the coast of Magdala. Chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading here, verse 1. And the Pharisees also and the Sadducees came and tempted, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it'll be fair weather, for you the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Yet ye hypocrites, the word hypocrite means actor. These people are only acting like they believed in God. They were only acting like that they were sincere, much like most preachers. Most people out there today in the religious world are a bunch of actors. Sitting back at the back here is our brother Adair Chapman, one of our last surviving elders and one of the trustees of this church. He goes to a huge church, and he talked about how the preacher out there, he's all fancy. He's gone to the college now and got all primed up and fixed. And so he walks around holding his head like he's having this profound thought. Jesus said, that's a hypocrite. That's an actor. Don't act. The day you see me up here acting, I want you to take me out back and wake me up. Wake me up. I'm supposed to be me when I'm up here. And when Manuel's up here, he's supposed to be Manuel. And when Foy's up here, he's supposed to be Foy. And when Eric's up here, he's supposed to be Eric. No acting's allowed at the Main Street Church of Christ. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time. No wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah, in other words, as Jonah, and he left them and departed. Now, what was the sign of Jonah? Well, Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, just like Jesus is going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, false teachers. Beware of the leaven of false teachers. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? And so they couldn't understand what this parable is. See, this feeding the 5,000 on 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeding the 4,000 on 7 loaves and a few little fishes was an acted out parable so that the disciples could learn this parable. Point, because Jesus is going to send them now to conquer the whole wide world, and he wanted them to learn this. What is it he wanted them to learn? And when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? And how many baskets you took up? And neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000. And how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Now the key verse. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. False religion multiplies just like Jesus can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000. False religion swells up and teaches thousands upon thousands upon thousands, and few find the way to Christ. Amen. Just like Jesus can take 7 loaves and a few little fishes, false religion swells up. False religion is all over the world. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that entereth to life, and what? Few there be that find it. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. If you're in a big, huge church that there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people, you're probably in the broad way. Jesus said there's just a few people, a couple of hundreds, a few over here. Just a few finds it. Not many. You guys are lucky. Y'all fallen in the real Church of Christ. You fallen in, instead of among thieves, you fallen in among people that used to be thieves and changed their ways, changed their wicked ways, and cried to God and said, have mercy upon us sinners. The gospel is our only hope. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ Jesus said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that which I preached unto you, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you." What if you don't? Unless you believed in vain. So if you forget this, you're going to believe in vain. A fool won't err therein. You understand? This is simple stuff. A fool won't err therein. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." How could you forget that? "That He was buried." How could you forget that? "And that He is risen the third day according to the Scriptures." How could you forget that? Anybody that forgets that doesn't know the Lord. You go to wherever you're worshiping today, radio audience. Ask your preacher what the gospel is. If he tells you anything else other than 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, it's time for you to get in your car and come to 4300 Main Street, the corner of Peak. We know what the gospel is over here. Or go to the Church of Christ nearest your home. The Bible teaches you believe that gospel, there's no reason for you to be lost. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible teaches we need to put our faith and trust and confidence in God. Belief and faith come from the same Greek word, but it takes two English words to understand. See, you can believe something abstractly, but faith, you've got to really flee to Him. You got to get a hold of Him, of His garment. You got to believe that He can save you, but you got to trust Him that He won't lie and that He will save you. That's one of the hardest things for sinners like me, seeing becoming a Christian, those of you that are sinners, is believing that He can forget all your sorry, rotten, no good things that you ever said, done, or thought. Yeah, the Bible says that Christ is willing to do that. And the Bible talks about we need to confess Christ. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Then the Bible talks about how we need to repent of our sins. "For the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now it commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Repent means you're going this way serving the devil, and you come to a point and you're willing to stop and turn and go the other way, serving the Lord. It don't mean that you're going to become Mr. Clean. It doesn't mean that you're not ever going to sin again. It just means that you're going to try to go this way the rest of your life. You're not ever going to go back that way again. You're just going to try. And every time you fail, you're going to cry to God and say, "God, have mercy on me. I failed. Help me to do better." And then the Bible teaches we need to be baptized into Christ, a reenactment of His death, burial, and resurrection. "For as many of you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, been baptized into His death, therefore being buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." If you're here this morning, you're ready to become a Christian, now's going to be your opportunity. You can just march right down here, right down to the front down here, and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, "What must I do to be saved?" before it's everlasting too late. Won't you come now while we stand and sing? James, stand up, brother. Face the church. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes, I do.
You now want to repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes, I do.
Say, "Lord Jesus."
Lord Jesus.
Amen. If you go in right over here, Brother James, we'll baptize you right away. We have coming this morning, Lochelle. Lochelle, would you stand up, please, and face the church, please. Lochelle, how long have you been coming here?
About 2 months.
About 2 months? We're sure glad to have you. We hope that this will be your home all the days of your life. Lochelle, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? You now want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord. Say, "Lord Jesus."
Lord Jesus.
Amen. If you go in right over here, We'll baptize you straight away.
Michelle, based on your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. James, based on your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins.
And we've been